Today's show is sponsored by Brooklinen. Get $20 off and free shipping by using the code LOVE at brooklinen.com. What's up, guys? How's it going?
Hey.
Welcome back to another episode.
Week of Easter.
Oh, yeah. Holy Week, Palm Sunday, all that good stuff. Good Friday coming up, Easter coming up. So when you guys are listening to this, that means you're entering into...
Yeah.
They're entering in. Yeah. Easter's coming up soon. And so we hope you guys are getting all prepped and ready and dominating life. I always try to imagine what you guys are doing when you're listening to us right now when we start. If you're working out, I always envision someone working out on the treadmill. I always envision someone on a walk. And I envision someone listen to us in the car. So if you're not one of those three, let us know how or where you listen. I'd love to hear that. What would you say to that?
Driving, definitely, and walking, but also laundry, dishes, dinner.
Yeah, you listen a lot when you walk.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. That's excited to chat this week. What is on your heart? How are you doing? How's life? What's new? What's up?
To them.
No, that was to you.
There's really not a whole lot. I'm just really excited for Easter. I've been thinking about that, planning for that. Cannon's birthday is coming up, so it's the week after Easter, so he's going to be 2. So just starting to get the ball rolling on that one. So we're excited. We have a really fun month of April plan. Jeff's taking Sis to Disney World. So that'll be really fun.
That'll be really fun.
Coming to visit end of April. So April's going to be really fun.
Yeah, that April is going to be fun. So let us know if you guys are having as good of April as we're about to have.
Plus, it's like everyone's birthday.
Huh?
I think it's like half of our community's birthday is in April.
Yeah, that's true. April's slammed. Both my parents' birthdays. Yeah, it'll be fun. All right, guys, we're going to just jump right into it. So this week we're excited. We got plenty of stuff to talk about. We'll always talk about what we're reading, questions that are coming up, you know, stuff like that. But first thing on my mind... The built-ins. Guys.
Yes.
I'm obsessed. I don't know. Okay. Let me know if this is you guys. If you're either a husband or a wife, if you're like this, where if I get fixated on something, you're not getting me out of that. Right?
Okay. So what happened is in our living room, when we moved into our house, we were renting it. And the owner said, you know, if we ever move back in, what we do in our living room is we would put these built-ins and like switch up the, what do you call that?
The way the furniture was organized.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
We're like, that'd be cool, but we were renting, so we didn't even like consider it. And so just last week, someone in our community group said, because now that we own the house, she said, can I just tell you my vision for this house? I've always thought it'd be so cool if you put these built-ins on this wall and then you switched it around.
Yeah. Which I had the thought of before, but it was more like on a whim, kind of like, oh yeah, that'd be cool. But then I kind of had a couple things where I was like, oh, that wouldn't really work. So I kind of just moved on. But then
But this time.
Yeah, I just kind of really put it back in the forefront of my mind. And I was like, oh, I'm better at building now. I think I could do it.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the thing because we got built-ins in our old house, which were beautiful. But
we paid
like
a carpenter to do them and they're really expensive.
It's a very big investment. Yeah. And so we're like, well, we just don't have that right now. But now Jeff can build them. And so literally, guys, since Thursday night, all Jeff has, I mean, he's, you know, lived life. But in any spare moment, I could tell his wheels are spinning. Yes. And he's thinking about these built-ins. He's researching about these built-ins. He just stares at the wall for like 10 minutes at a time. He is fixated.
So seriously, guys, that's literally all I've been doing lately. So if that's you, let me know. And then let me know what you are in the Enneagram because I want to see if we're the same.
Is that part of your Enneagram? Tell me about your Enneagram.
Yeah, well, guys, we've been into the Enneagram a lot lately. I've always known about it. I've seen it for the last couple of years, but I know a lot of people are getting really into it. I'm not huge on personality tests for a couple of reasons, but I will say not all personality tests are created equal. And what I mean by that is I don't think they're all the same. I think some are good. Some aren't very helpful. Some are like kind of like shallow or just surface. Some are deeper. And the reason I like the Enneagram is
can I interrupt real quick? I think the one thing I haven't, the con of personality tests in the past has been people will get their whatever, like ENFJ or whatever, and then they'll use it as an excuse like, oh, well, that's just how I am. I'm just that way. Like, I'll never change. Where the Enneagram, I really like it because it tells you what you are, but then it shows the weaknesses and the strengths of that personality, like where you're prone to sin and where you're prone to like be really great at if you.
Yeah. And I think you can still fall into that trap with the Enneagram. But yeah, I think you're right. Basically, I think all personality tests are at their worst when they give you, like you said, when they give you an excuse to not, when they kind of solidify who you are and they make you just give a bunch of, I mean, it's good to understand yourself. Here's an example. Like for extroverted and introverted, right? So like some tests can, you can, it will tell you you're an extrovert, but then sometimes that means you will take that as a reason to never have introspection, never have alone time, never talk to the Lord, whatever. You just always want to go party and do your thing and go crazy. Or introverted. I know, you know, a person that who I know who's introverted and who tests as an introvert and has said like, oh yeah, I just have to make sure that I don't give myself permission to like at every party just go sit in the corner because they're like, well, I'm an introvert. You know, that's still, there's still a universal call to like, small talk's not fun at the end of the day, but like, there's still a universal call to like charity and grace and be kind and try to enter into people's stories, conversation, et cetera. So both extrovert, introvert, those are easy. Like those are kind of stereotypical, but I think personality tests, they're at their worst when they enable you to not, round yourself out, fully grow and pursue areas of growth in your weakness. That's what I'm trying to say. But I do think, the Enneagram safeguards that the best. And for the reason that you just said, if you guys don't know the Enneagram, well, first of all, I mean, I think the reason I like it the most is I think it has the most spiritual roots. I think it really gets down to not just like, this is how your brain works, but this is a little bit more of like, no, this is kind of your DNA of how you're created, in kind of like a God given way. Or this is how he's wired you for his kingdom. And there's ones, you know, you can find probably Enneagram versions that are not the most spiritual, but I do think a lot of people have come in with really good insight, really good theology, and really good awareness, and like use that as a really good tool. But what I was going to say is, I think the reason I like it the most is because no other personality test I know does what you just said, and Enneagram does is it'll tell you your three different levels. So like you get a number, there's a number of 1 through 9, and you can get like a wing, and a wing is just like your second label. So you can be like a 8 wing 9, you know, and then you can look that up, which that's what I am, I would say. And so that's challenger wing peacemaker, which means I'm primarily see the world as a challenger. But then I also have like a DNA, my second ranked one is peacemaking. But what's cool is I still need to look up this exact part on the 8 and the 9, but what is cool is it'll give you, like if you're an 8, it'll say, here's the 3 levels of health for number 8. And what it means by that is like, basically it's saying like, it can be a blessing and a curse, which we totally talk about all the time, that your strengths can be a blessing or a curse, or your strengths can be weaknesses. And so like for the 8, it'll say, you know, if you're emotionally, spiritually, mentally healthy, then here's what 8 will look like. You will challenge in the sense of being prophetic and maybe like getting people to change in a really beautiful, hopeful way, you know, turning the rudder of the ship and having the power and the ability for leadership in that. Super broken as a number 8. And so it's just kind of like, yeah, you know, sometimes you can be abrasive, sometimes you can be whatever, hurtful with your challenging, but then, or you can be like unhealthy. And that is the really like hurtful, broken, you break relationships by your force, whatever. So what's cool is it's like, it actually gives you tiers of like, if you're walking in health, if you're neutral, or if you're actually walking unhealthy.
Or just to be aware of like, I could be inclined to be like this. So
when
I
I'm not living.
Careful to do this. Yeah. Which I think is healthy, and it's,
exactly. So that's what I love, guys. But yeah, so let us know if you're Enneagram people. Do you remember what number you are? I think you took a little bit ago.
I took it, but I don't think that was right. So I want to read the book.
Yeah.
That's what I really want to do.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm a 9, a peacemaker, but Jeff thinks I might be a 2 helper.
But I think you're probably like, I think you're a 2 wing 9.
But I don't know. Can you be a 2 wing 9? I thought you could only be.
No, it doesn't have to. I don't think it necessarily has to be
right next to it.
I don't think so.
I thought it'd be like 2 wing 3.
I think I've seen both opinions. But
anyway,
Guys, I still want to talk about this. I still want to talk about this some more, but I have a quick story about this week's sponsor, guys. Now, the story is the fact that me and Alyssa essentially love sleep probably more than anyone I've ever found in the universe. I take naps.
There's a few people.
Basically, sleep is our love language. So Gary Chapman, who wrote that book, Love Language, he left out sleep. If you enable me to have more sleep, I will love you forever. And that's primarily because I like sleep, because we have little kids running around, and because we...
No, Jeff's always loves sleep.
Yeah, that's true.
So
guys, but here, guys, I just want you guys to picture this. I am one of those, especially now, I'm like one of those prima donna sleepers where like I need my mask. I need my earplugs sometimes. I used to take my pillow and put it over my face. Well, now I actually read sometimes at night, and so Alyssa takes it. But
the eye mask.
The eye mask.
No, but what happened is he bought the eye mask for himself because he has eye issues. But the last 3 weeks, he has read every night in bed, which is great. I totally support that. However, I'm ready for bed. So now I end up wearing the eye mask every
exactly,
night.
Exactly. But guys,
but it's kind of nice.
All that to say, being long-winded, I'm just saying we love sleep. Sleep is our love language. And so I want to tell you guys about something really incredible and really awesome. And that is Brooklyn. And now you've heard us talk about them before. They're amazing. And they're this new bedding that we basically discovered. And even they say that you spend a third of your life sleeping, right, on sheets, under the covers. And in fact, with my math, with how much I sleep, I almost spend a half of my life in the sheets. So I'm very glad that we have Brooklyn. And but it makes a difference. It makes a difference. And they're the most comfortable sheets. They don't have any huge markups. And it's really a way to upgrade your nightly routine. So the thing I love about them the most too is I'm talking about stories. Their story is amazing. They were founded in April 2014, a couple years ago, by a husband and a wife team, Vicky and Rich, which I love that. And their philosophy from the beginning was beautiful, comfortable home essentials with no crazy prices. They've actually been winner of the best online bedding category by Good Housekeeping. So we want to hook you guys up. Go to brooklinen.com for an exclusive offer for any of you listening. We want to give you guys $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code LOVE at brooklinen.com. And they're so confident in their product that they're going to offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all their sheets and comforters. So go ahead and get $20 off and free shipping. Use the code LOVE at brooklinen.com. That's brooklinen.com, promo code LOVE. They're the best sheets ever, guys. And I think we should do a whole nother podcast just on sleep. The science behind it, the reason why we love it, the reason why it's incredible. But guys, I want to bring it back around to the Enneagram because I want to talk about that a few more minutes. I think, and what it really comes down to, which I do think this is really helpful, is I think the longer I live, as if I'm going into like year 60.
He's so old.
I know. The longer I live, I think, and you can talk about this with the book you read, whatever, a couple of weeks ago. I think the longer I live, the more I'm realizing that self-awareness of your own heart and your own mind, your own temptations, your own shortcomings, the things you gravitate to, whatever, self-awareness in all areas of life is actually one of the most powerful skills you can have, mm-hmm. and able to live in which then enables you to live a healthy and flourishing life. I think you have to know yourself. Okay. And I don't think we center ourselves around ourselves. I don't think it's all about, you know, having more self-esteem, or, and that's not the language per se, but I do think obviously God, you know, declares goodness over you and that you're an image bearer and there's so much dignity and worth and value. So I think you need to believe that. But I also just think, yeah, just common self-awareness of just how you're wired, what you're like, what you, mm-hmm. when you, what makes you have harder days, what makes you have easier days, what...
Why are you feeling the way you feel?
Yeah, I just think self-awareness is actually a skill that's mm-hmm. like severely lacking today, people. And that's primarily because we have no introspection, because we're so busy, we're on our phones, we're on the internet. We never have 2 seconds to actually just pause, have no noise, no music on, and just think and be inside our heads. But...
I feel like for me, well, I don't know. I wonder if it's something biological too, where we don't really understand ourselves until later on, mm-hmm. like in our 20s.
Yeah.
Like I was listening to a sermon by John Mark and he was saying, this is kind of related, but how he was just talking about kids and growing up and like, you know, he tries to be the best parent he can, but no matter what, our kids will need some type of therapy.
Yeah.
Like hopefully they'll need less therapy than more, but just because we're sinners, and so it's really about just being humble and asking for forgiveness when we mess up and doing that. But it's not until we're about age 22 where we actually realize things in our family that were unhealthy or weren't that great.
That's interesting.
Or weren't. And so I wonder if it's not until we're in our 20s that we actually really understand or start the journey of really understanding who we are. I don't know, maybe that's totally wrong, but I feel like for me, like I knew in high school what I liked, what I was passionate about.
Yeah, I don't mean like that. I
think
but
more I feel like I didn't understand until my 20s, like, oh, I'm feeling this way.
Yeah.
And then it took me like all my 20s to have vocabulary to say, oh, I feel like this because yeah. this happened.
Yeah.
And I have this in my heart that I'm fearful of, or I'm, this is a trigger point for me, or this hits a point yeah. in me. And I feel like I'm still on that journey, but it took a really long time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just.
No, keep going. That's fire.
Okay. Well, that's really all that I have. But, so yeah, but I do think it's so important to know, to understand ourselves and why we operate the way we do. And, you know, what are things in our, lives that are trigger points, or that were painful, or that were like a trauma thing, or why do we get excited about things, or what, you know, when somebody says this, why does that make me feel hurt by it? Yep. And I was just sharing on the Date Box podcast that I think when you get married, I feel like that's the one thing I wish I had known or grown in or been aware of, that I think when you get married, the number one, I mean, obviously you want to have a healthy marriage and you want to know why, what the purpose is of marriage and, like, you know, what God says about it. But I feel like the next to that, or maybe even right next beside it, is like understanding yourself, because I think a really, really healthy marriage comes from when both individuals are really believers. They're constantly growing and working and improving and understanding why they tick, because I think then you can have better communication with your spouse and understand them, and or say, oh, like, I'm really sorry that I reacted that way. I did because this, you know. And if you don't understand yourself that well, then it makes it a lot harder.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think, you know, I think that it's kind of a cliche image that, you know, people use in the church, but it's still, I think it's still right, of that triangle analogy of like when two spouses are, you know, of God at the top of the triangle and two spouses at the bottom. And when you're both pursuing God, then you're kind of getting closer to each other.
Right.
I almost think that can be the same picture of like you and your self-awareness. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Where it's like, the more you're pursuing God and the more you're really going after him in a deeply intimate relational way, the more that uncovers layer after layer.
Totally.
On you and like in your own heart. If you're doing it right, if you're just going after self-righteousness or religious activity or whatever, no. But I do feel like the God, you know, Yahweh that we see in the scriptures, found in Jesus, relationally, you can't continue to day by day go after him unless you allow him to also day by day come after you, which is deeply intimate and kind of every day peels back another layer. Like, he never lets you just stay how you are. In a good way, not like, you know, well, sometimes it's painful, but not in like a crazy painful way. He just kind of keeps pursuing you. And so I feel like, I just think that's a cool picture of just like actually with yourself. Hey guys, I wanted to take a quick break out of this week's episode and let you know about one of our favorite sponsors, and that is Casper. That's this week's sponsor. If you don't know Casper, they're a sleep brand that makes expertly designed products to help you get a better rest one night at a time. And I absolutely love them. I've experienced their products. They're cleverly designed to mimic human curves, and so they provide support and comfort for all types of body. And like they even say, you spend 1/3 of your life sleeping, so it should be comfortable. And my favorite part is doing your research. You actually will realize that with over 20,000 reviews, they have an average of 4.8 stars across Casper, Amazon, and Google. So clearly, people absolutely love them. They have a couple different options, the Wave and the Essential mattress. And on top of that, it's delivered right to your door in a small, how did they do that size box, with free shipping and returns in US and Canada. So I want to hook you guys up. If you go to Casper, CASPER.com/Jeff and Alyssa, and you use the promo code Jeff and Alyssa, you will get $50 towards select mattresses. And so again, to get $50 towards select mattresses, visit casper.com/Jeff and Alyssa and use the promo code Jeff and Alyssa. And you can be sure of your purchase because Casper has a 100-night risk-free sleep on it trial, and it's incredible. And I love them. So make sure to check them out, and back to our show. All right, guys, we want to enter this last segment into Q&A. And also, sorry, I think we accidentally got cut off for those last few seconds before we went into the Casper ad. But I was pretty much just rounding out that thought. Okay, first question is from Tori. She says, balance? Which is capital B. She does it. Well, she did it in all caps. B-A-L-A-N-C-E. Exclamation question mark. But then she says, as new parents, my hubby and I are trying to figure this whole thing out. The mom part is great, but it's the rest of my life that I'm having trouble with. Still spending time with my hubby, working part-time, serving, etc. Great question, Tori. I'll go first, and then I know you want to add some stuff. So what I always tell people is, I think a lot of people don't realize how much their day-to-day is almost them mindlessly just serving the most immediate needs. A lot of people don't realize that that's what they're doing, but a lot of people, their day is just simply going to the next thing, the next thing, the next thing, and on all those things, just doing whatever is most in front of them. And so a lot of times that can be the kids. If you're at a job, that can be the thing that's most due soonest or whatever. And that's fine. But I do think at the end of the day, to combat that, something that's really, really helpful, especially with high level priorities, because this relates to anyone. This relates to, you know, it's the same answer for someone who's single and just saying, hey, how do I prioritize time with the Lord? Or someone who says, you know, hey, I'm not in any relationship, but I want to spend more time with my parents or my friends or work more on this skill. Or a married couple who says, man, it's really hard for us to get a date night. Whatever it is, this answer is the same. And that is, get a journal, get a piece of paper or a pen, spend 30 minutes, go to a coffee shop and or do it at your house and write down literally from a high level, 30,000 foot level, your most important kind of weekly-ish or daily-ish priorities. And what I mean by that is, you know, do you want to have a date night? Do you want to have time with the Lord? Do you want to get this done at work? Whatever it is, the high level priorities, but kind of the things that you feel like you want to do, but you never get to because of the busyness. And then when you write them all down, realize at the end of the day that you kind of can just do those things, right? That most of the time you're not doing those things because, and I know this is true in my own life, because I'm not, basically, here's a better way to put it. Start with, now when you have that list, then take Sunday. Okay. So the week's coming up, you're about to start the week, take Sunday. And now with a blank slate in front of you, nothing scheduled on the calendar yet, take those big priorities and put them in the calendar first. Meaning I'm going to do this on Tuesday. We're going to go on a date night on Thursday, whatever. And then fit all the little stuff around that. And I know for us, once we've done that, I mean, literally we did it today at breakfast. Before we got the kids up, we just said, okay, when are we getting a date night? When, Alyssa, are you getting a break? When am I going to have a few hours to just work? Whatever. We do that as like our high level priorities, fit all the huge things in so that we never feel stressed. We never feel pressured by outsiding schedules or outside priorities. And man, it's huge. It sounds simple, but it really is huge. Basically, take the big things and form everything else around those big things. And what happens is then they're always on the calendar. You're always doing them. And yeah, what would you add?
Yeah, that's really good. I think the only other thing I would say is, I don't know how old your little one is, but being a new mom, just takes a really long time to adjust. And there's different, not levels, but like different things that you're adjusting to and transitioning into. And I feel like it almost takes like a full year until you're like, okay, like, I get it. This is my new rhythm. Yeah. This is our new way of life. This is how we do things. And even within that, things are always like changing and progressing like every, however many months with kids. And so I think just giving yourself a lot of grace and just saying, okay, like what is the priority? What does the Lord want in this season of my life, in the next 3 months, in the next 6 months? You know, what are things, like Jeff said, what are things that are a priority? What are things to let go? And I think just knowing the things that are a priority, it helps you filter things. So when good things come, but it just doesn't fit into your priorities, then you can easily say no. Or if things are off balance, then you can readjust and say, okay, like, how can we make this work so that we're all flourishing to the best of our ability? Because sometimes, if you're working, a lot of moms need to work. You need to work for financially. And so finding what works with your family.
Yeah.
And I think just then wherever you are, being totally present there. And, knowing that that's what you guys need, that's what you decided on, and just enjoying the moment and just being fully present. I don't know if, when you have the opportunity, when you're spending time with your kids, being fully present and just enjoying them and training them and shepherding them and being creative with them and taking them to outings, whatever that looks like with what age your child is. And then when you're at work, knowing like, okay, like I need to work right now. It's a blessing to work. So I'm going to be all here. Baby is okay. Where, whatever situation you have. And then learning like what things you need to rest well, what things you need to fill up well, like breaks and creative outlets and, intentional time with your husband, just whatever those things are, those priorities, like Jeff said, really putting those into practice. And, you know, every week is not going to look perfect. Some weeks it's going to, you're just going to have to put some things to the side because it just doesn't work that week. But just overall, like having that 80%, this is like your new rhythm, not necessarily setting goals, but rhythms for you, and just giving yourself a lot of grace. It takes time to adjust.
That's good. That's good. I think it was Tori. Hope that was good. Let's do one or two more quick ones for you. Jessica Miller said, this one's for Alyssa. Jefferson posts a ton about his books, but what do you, all caps, read? Any favorites? Any favorite studies or prayer guides specifically for women?
Okay, moment of transparency.
Ooh.
At the beginning of the year, I was reading almost the same amount of books as Jeff.
Oh, you trying to toot your horn right now?
No. But I couldn't post about them because the books I was reading were fictional books that maybe some people wouldn't.
They're the ones that are always turned into rom-coms.
Rom-coms, yes, which I love. But some people, it may not be the best book for them. Or maybe some people would think I'm not walking with the Lord because I'm reading them. I mean, they're not bad. They're just.
They're not. We're not. You're not reading 50 Shades of Grey.
I'm not reading. No.
Don't mislead the people.
No,
guys. Alyssa's so sweet. Where she basically, if they
there's
kiss,
like some swearing.
Yeah. If there's one swear word in the book, or if they kiss once in the book, no. Alyssa feels scandalized, guys. So that's more what she means.
Anyway, so a lot of what I read, all year I've been in a fiction mode. So I've read a lot of fiction. I will recommend, though, I know I said this on my Instagram. Francine Rivers' new book, The Masterpiece, is so good. It's like one of my top books in the last 9 months. So that one was really good. I just finished Maria?
Antoinette?
Goff?
Oh, yeah. Bob Goff's wife.
Is it Maria?
I think it's him.
Maria Goff's, it's so funny, I haven't said it out loud, so that's why I'm hesitating.
Laugh loves here, live love here.
Love lives here.
Oh, it's close.
It came out like a year ago, and I tried reading it, and it wasn't the right season, and I just read it this week, and it was really good. So if you've read Love Does by Bob Goff, you'll love this one. They're very similar. And if you're a mom, or a wife, or have a home, I just feel like it's really encouraging. With hospitality and being a mom and all those things. So I love, those are like two of the books that I've read. And then also Jeff and I have talked about it, I think on our last podcast, but what's his name? The guy that did the three series.
I literally always forget. I think it's David Brenner.
Yeah. Does that ring a bell? It's David Brenner. Yeah. I always get confused because the foreword is always by Basil Pennington or whatever. And I always think it's Basil. Anyway, but the three books, The Gift of Being Yourself.
Surrender to Love. Yeah.
Surrender to Love. And what's the other one? Jeff's reading that. I haven't read the third one. Anyway, those are, I've been doing those for my Bible study, and those have been life changing. I think every believer should read all three of his books.
And they're small, so everyone can.
They're small. Mm-hmm. So those are just like some of the things off the top of my head.
Yeah. Dang it. Right when I just pulled up all
Jeff
the questions.
Jeff lost all the questions.
I know. But the one I was going to read to you, which we can end on, and I want you to kind of elaborate on how you journal in Bible, is basically someone said, it was another book question for you, and it basically said, do you still have a journal Bible? I saw you post about that a couple years ago. Like, how do you use it? What do you do with it? Do you, like, do pretty stuff, or is it more for, like, Bible notes? So talk about just kind of how you...
Is that just for me or for both of
us? It was just for you. Because I have one too, but I feel like mine's a little bit more, like, rare because it's not my everyday Bible. It's more like when I want to write something. When yours is your everyday Bible. So talk about that.
Okay. So yes, I have a journaling Bible. It's my favorite Bible ever.
Which means basically it's a Bible with huge margins on the left side of the left page and right side of the right page to like write in.
Yes.
Yes.
Mine's the ESV one. I have the leather bound because a lot of people have asked the leather bound. I get it on Amazon. You can look at like.
Yeah, it's expensive, but it's worth it for a Bible like of that quality.
Last time I checked, Amazon had the cheapest one, but
like 80.
It's like 100, but or 90. But sometimes the Christian bookstore will have a sale, so you could check on that. But anyway, it's my favorite. I am not a good doodler. And like, I know some people do Bible art and they like make it beautiful. I love that, but I can't do it. So mine is just, I'm a journaler. And so I underline things. I will write in the margins. I'll maybe write the same verse, but in a different translation. I'll write, if I'm studying it, like I'll, and I, something really stands out, I'll write that, or a definition of a word, or, you know, like I'll date it. Like if in the Psalms, if there's a Psalm, a verse that really sticks out to me, I'll date it and write what's going on in that season, or like, you know, and so that's really cool to look back and be like, wow, the Lord got me through that. He really was my rock, or he really was my strength in that season. So that's kind of what I do with it. Jeff actually has the exact same Bible and he got it for Kinsley. And so if he's reading through the Bible and he sees a verse that really stands out, he'll underline it and write a date and like a prayer for Kinsley on the side, or a note for her.
Yeah.
And then he'll give it to her when she's 18 or married or something, when she's older. So there's different ways that you can use it. It just kind of depends how you read and study your Bible. Like Jeff,
I would use it every day, but I feel like for me, I'm just not a huge journaler when I read.
Jeff kind of processes all in his head.
Yeah.
He just like
thinks all the time.
Lets it whirl around forever and ever. And I have to actually get it on paper. And then there's some people that have to get it out verbally. So it just kind of depends what your way of learning is.
Totally.
But if you are a journaler, then I definitely recommend it.
Yeah. So, all right, guys, that's all we got for this week. We love you. We hope you have a good week, and we will talk to you later.